Last time on Improv Tabletop, we met three new heroes who are going to save Middle-earth. Gandalf, the Wandering Wizard. Obviously, he's going to help save Middle-earth. But then there's also Rigby from Regular Show and Courage the Cowardly Dog from Courage the Cowardly Dog. They're going to save Middle-earth somehow, I guess. How are we going to... How's that going to happen? Let's find out here in the world of Ratoon of the King. What's shaking, everybody? You're listening to Improv Tabletop, the Fate RPG actual play where we make up everything on the spot. I'm Ned Wilcock, your host and GM, and today I'm joined by...
Caleb Anderton, looking to hire a burglar.
Christian Randall, probably a burglar.
And Thomas Ryan...
I was really hoping for Thomas Ryan, definitely a burglar.
Definitely a burglar.
Well, that's just what Courage said in Courage the Cowardly Dog speak.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't speak dog.
He just translated it.
It's true, yeah.
Yeah, those of you who are listening to this couldn't see it, but Thomas did shapeshift into a crowbar and a ski mask during the course of that.
Flawlessly.
Yeah.
It's an amazing skill.
Well, it is time to gather together the fellowship. And we talked about, you know, during our intro episode, we're probably just going to do one episode, one book. So this is going to be our Fellowship of the Ring episode. We're going to start with each of our heroes in disparate places. You have all been summoned to the Council of Elrond in Rivendell because you are the ones, the only ones who can save this world from evil and darkness and destruction.
Oh boy.
But getting to Rivendell is not necessarily the easiest when the Dark Lord is trying to prevent your passage. So we're going to begin following our heroes as they go along the way. And we're going to start with, I'm going to roll to see who we're going to start with.
Ooh.
We're starting with Gandalf.
Yes.
Riding across the Pelennor fields upon Shadowfax, the king of all horses. Peregrin took before you, and behind you is a very scared individual. You're running away from a flying beast in the sky. Shrieks following after you as you go.
Oh dear.
And the pair of hands grasped around your waist are trembling, and you hear a voice in your ear say, "Like Zoinks, Gandalf, that thing ate Scoob right up in one bite."
Oh no.
Killed Scooby.
No.
Right out the gate.
Oh. We gotta set the stakes.
Killed Scooby.
These are bad, Middle Earth.
Is it too late to pull out of this campaign? I don't know if I can do this.
That's already more deaths than in the original book.
We started with a character death.
You hear, amidst the shrieks of the fell beast flying behind you, the occasional muffled...
Good heavens. That feels illegal.
What? I kill Scooby and you don't like it. I make Scooby still alive and you tell me it's illegal. What am I supposed to do here?
I am picturing Scooby-shaped, like, you know, stretching out of the fell beast's stomach in every direction as Scooby's trying to run his way out.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. Okay, so is Shaggy on the horse with us as well?
Yep, you're in the middle, Pippin's in front of you, Shaggy's on the back.
How I get myself into these situations, I'll never know.
As I shoot a blast of blue-colored flame back at the Nazgul trying to chase us.
All right, sounds like a flashy attack, I would say.
Yeah.
The Nazgul is going to try and defend with Quick, but he's going to be maybe a little bit hindered by this dog trying to burrow its way out of his stomach. Ooh, not that hindered. The Nazgul got a +5.
Whoa!
I also got a +5.
Ooh, so we got a tie here. Would you like to spend one of your fate points to try and bring it up, or do you want to stick with the tie?
Now let's stick with the tie for now.
Oh.
All right, a tie on attacking. You don't harm the target, but you do gain a boost. The boost I'm going to give you is... gastric distress for the Nazgul. You can use that to your advantage against this at any point you would like. And so you shoot the flame and the fell beast barely ducks off to the side and you hear a whispering voice on the wind.
Ah, Mithrandir, we are evenly matched, but only one of us can come out on top.
Thoroughly spooked by that. Gandalf doesn't get spooked often, but you know, there's a lot of fear going on between Pippin in front of me and Shaggy behind me.
It's a fear sandwich.
It's a fear sandwich, and it's rubbing off. And
this is like the worst sandwich I've ever been part of, dude.
Shaggy, I've told you many times now, keep your trap shut.
And I know I've got to rescue Scooby. Scooby's still alive. I'm going to rear Shadowfax around and try to catch the Nazgul off guard and actually poke my staff, like, into the fell beast's stomach and make him regurgitate that dog.
All right. What are we going to do with that? That sounds pretty forceful to me, just shoving it right in his gut there.
Yeah. Oh, and can I use the boost?
Yes. Here, let's see what the Nazgul gets. The Nazgul's going to try and just prevent itself from throwing up with forceful. Only getting a plus one.
I got a plus four.
Oh, nice.
Dang.
Success with style on this attack. If you'd like, you can reduce your damage by one to get another boost, or you can just do the full three damage.
I'll reduce it and get another boost. Why not?
All right. You stab the fell beast right in the gut, and with a terrible retching noise and a cartoon-like spray of vomit, by the time the spraying subsides, you see Shadowfax is looking just the most demoralized he's ever looked in his entire life, mane dripping down, eyes low, like the eyelids lowered in anger, and now Scooby has all of his legs wrapped around your head, and he's like, "Ro-ro, let's get out of here!" And the fell beast is coughing and hacking, so the new boost that you're going to get to replace Gastric Distress is, well, I mean, we're just going to stick with Gastric Distress. We'll just extend that particular boost, because it still makes sense.
Okay, I know I can't fight this thing right now. I'm just going to run, Shadowfax, show us the meaning of haste, and get us going as fast as possible with the three of us on this horse and a dog wrapped around my face.
All right, we're going to do a little contest. You versus the Nazgul. And so you're going to be, you're trying to be the first one to get three victories. You're not quick, but Shadowfax is very quick. I think this is up to you to use Clever to help, like, navigate Shadowfax around the various debris. Like, you know, the Pelennor Fields, there's if you've ever watched the behind the scenes of Return of the King, you've heard the stories about, you know, horses accidentally stepping in, like, gopher holes and going sprawling and that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to be careful running through the Pelennor Fields. But you're going to be clever instead of careful because... Yes. Anyway, clever. Roll with clever.
Hey, I'll take it. I will take it.
Okay. Nazgul's rolling with quick.
I got a plus four.
Ooh, only a plus three here. So that is going to give you one out of three victories. If you get success with style, that's going to give you two victories, though.
Okay. Remind me what that boost can do for me.
Yeah, if you've got two free invokes on Gastric Distress, this boost, each one you use is going to allow you to either reroll or add plus two to your final result.
Oh man, I'm going to invoke it once and I'm going to add plus two to that, bringing it up from plus four up to a plus six.
Yeah, success with style, and Shadowfax does indeed begin to show you the meaning of haste, running as fast as any horse has ever run in the history of Middle-earth. And you're guiding him over, like, stones, around little bushes and shrubs and whatnot. But the Ringwraith behind you is continuing to call up to you in that whisper-like voice. "Oh, come on, Mithrandir, this is no fair. Let's play a game, you and me." And so now we're on to the next round. You only need one more victory in order to get away from the Ringwraith. Ringwraith is going to continue to roll quick.
Oh, no. That's a minus one. Oh, no. No, wait. I have a plus three on Clever, so that's still a plus two.
All right. And the Ringwraith gets plus one.
Hey! Look at
that's a success.
Yeah. You're not so intimidating after all.
Yes. Sure enough, Shadowfax shows you the meaning of haste, and you escape from the range of the Nazgul's jeers and jibes, and you can see the forests of Lothlorien coming up before you. I don't actually know if Lothlorien is next to the Pelennor Fields, but we'll say that it is for our purposes here.
It's not, but that's okay.
Okay, yes. Shadowfax shows you so much haste that the next thing you know, you're right there in Lothlorien, approaching the beautiful, shining elven city of Rivendell. Now, let's see who we're going to...
Ned, I hate to be that guy. Rivendell isn't in Lothlorien either.
Yeah.
Of course it's not.
Yeah. I hate to be
Those are totally two separate elf.
Actually?
Rivendell is its own home.
It's not in the forest?
No, Lothlorien's a whole other elven contingent.
Ah, frick. Anyway.
Lothlorien is where Galadriel lives, and Rivendell is where Elrond lives.
Yeah.
They're very far apart, actually.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Friggin' Elrond, you should be living in a forest. What you doing, Elrond, you lame dude?
When the Fellowship is doing their thing, they leave Rivendell, they cross through Moria and all that, and then they end up at Lothlorien afterwards.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. You are at Rivendell.
Yay!
You are at the place where the narrative expediently needs you to be. And now we are cutting over to Courage, the Cowardly Dog.
Am I in Rivendell?
You are not yet in Rivendell. You are on the Buckleberry Ferry. Why not? You're riding on your way down the river to Rivendell because Buckleberry Ferry on the Brandywine River leads directly to Rivendell.
Oh, good heavens.
Obviously.
You're going to make so many people mad. I can already tell.
This is our canon.
Our canon is bonkers. I'm just going to be on the ferry, just scared out of my wits because Courage is scared of boats.
Courage is scared of boats. And while you are kind of huddling in the center, Eustace is kind of howling at you from the edge of the ferry, being like, come on, you stupid dog, I need some extra help to catch this lunker down here. And he's got a fishing pole, just pulling on it as hard as he can.
I'll go over and start pulling on it.
All right, while you're pulling on the fishing pole, you hear from the other side of the ferry, Muriel's going, oh, you really are so charming. Oh, little mama, you're the finest lady I've ever seen.
Johnny Bravo is my second choice, by the way,
oh, nice.
As far as characters to be.
So, yeah, you're kind of glancing over at Johnny Bravo, trying to seduce your surrogate mother. Go ahead and roll with Forceful to see if you can help Eustace catch this fish.
Starting off with my worst skill. Minus three.
Minus three. Okay, that roll is so bad. You notice that the Brandywine River has reached the portion where it's flowing through the dead marshes.
Oh, no. Ned!
What?
Ned!
Is it too late for me to drop out of the campaign?
No, you can drop out any time you want.
It's cartoon logic. It just teleports.
Yeah, cartoon physics.
Okay, okay.
I just watched an episode of the Powerpuff Girls where they flew so fast that they flew 50 years into the future. Right now, Courage the Cowardly Dog has something more pressing to worry about. Because what's that on the end of the fishing hook? It's not a fish. It is a zombie that springs out of the water and tries to grab you.
I'm going to... And then I'm going to run over to Muriel and Johnny Bravo. And I'm going to go... And then I'm going to turn into a zombie and go... With a big arrow pointing over to the water where Eustace is. And go...
Roll to overcome with Flashy. And Johnny Bravo is also going to try and overcome with Flashy to prevent Muriel from following your advice.
Plus one.
Johnny Bravo gets a plus five.
Can I use the things I do for love to re-roll that?
You can.
The things I do for love.
If I get all plus ones, I'll tie with Johnny Bravo.
Nice.
It got worse.
Oh.
Zero.
Yeah, so you come rushing up, you turn into a zombie, and Johnny Bravo puts his hand in your face and shoves you aside and says, oh, come on now, little lady, you don't want to worry about that grotesque individual over there. Look at this instead. And he flexes. Strikes a big old pose.
Well, I guess I'll just go fight some zombies alone then.
That's the Courage way.
You do notice that Eustace, though he is your trouble, he is still one of your aspects. So he's currently got the zombie in a figure four leg lock. And the zombie also has him in a figure four leg lock. It's a mutual figure four leg locking.
I'm going to run over into my sack and see if I have a weapon of some description, preferably a big hammer.
I mean, this is a cartoon world. You definitely have a big hammer. We don't even need to roll for that.
I'm going to clout my big hammer and flonk. I imagine I hit both of them, but I'm aiming for the zombie.
Well, if you want to aim for the zombie specifically, you could roll with careful to not hit Eustace.
Muriel would be mad if I hit Eustace, so I'm gonna hit the zombie.
All right, the zombie's gonna try and defend with quick to roll out of the way.
That's two.
Well, the zombie got negative three.
Yeah!
Yeah, that is success with style, with lots of style. That is five shifts of damage, so, I mean, shoot, Courage, what's it look like as you smash the zombie?
I'm just... bonk! And then he has, you know, birds flying around his head and he falls back in the water.
Yes, but as he falls back in the water, something slips out of the pack that he was wearing. A heavy stone-like black sphere, this orb, starts rolling onto...
The Palantir?
We do not know where all of the lost speaking stones ended up.
In the dead marshes at the end of the Brandywine River. Everyone knows that.
Yeah.
No, not at the end of the Brandywine River. The end of the Brandywine River is in Rivendell in Lothlorien. This is just along the way.
Doesn't the river go up the Misty Mountain first? Come on.
It does. Yeah, you already passed the part where you went up the Misty Mountain.
Oh, thank goodness. Good heavens. I'm going to grab the shiny rock.
All right, you grab the shiny rock, and as you do, you peer into it, and you can see a flame appearing in the center of it, and the next thing you know, your entire vision is engulfed in flame and darkness intermingling with each other, and you hear a voice, as if coming from far, far off in the land of Mordor. Return the ring, or suffer my curse.
And then I'm going to run over to Muriel. I'm going to go, Muriel! And then I'm going to go, and I'm going to turn into the eye and go,
all right. We're going to try and distract her from Johnny Bravo once again. Let's roll for Johnny Bravo's flashy. Ooh, he rolled worse this time, yeah.
So I roll flashy?
Yeah, he only got a plus two.
Should have made flashy better. I got plus one.
Oh, man. You want to use a fate point to try and beat Johnny Bravo?
The things I do for love. Negative one.
Oh. Wow. You didn't just add the plus two? You would have won if you just added the plus two.
Well, it's too late. I rolled it. It's gone. I'm committed to my course.
Okay, yes. Muriel... is just completely distracted by everything that Johnny Bravo is doing right now.
It's very on brand for Courage to be trying to get things solved and no one listening to him, just for the record.
Yeah, and Eustace is on the other side of the ferry. He's wringing out his cap back into the river. Ah, stupid darn dead men. And yeah, you are alone in your knowledge of the threat that is looming on the far distance, but... What's that looming up right in front of you? It's Rivendell, right here at the end of the Brandywine River.
I like to imagine it's kind of like, you know, Disneyland, when they've got that log ride that goes up, and then you go down, and it just whoosh, and then you're in Rivendell.
Oh, that's beautiful.
It's perfect. There's no flaw in this logic whatsoever.
I also love how the river ends at an inland location.
Yeah, like, not the sea.
All rivers lead to Rivendell. It's like Rome, baby.
Riverdell, yeah.
Riverdell.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the name.
All right. And so now we've got two people who have reached Rivendell, and we only have one left. Rigby. Yeah, and so you and Mordecai, you know, you're traveling along. You're in Benson's his little golf cart, just riding along your way towards Rivendell. No problems along the way. Skips, he insisted that he come along with you just to prevent you from getting absolutely ruined along the way. And you know what, Benson, he's also there. He's the one who's driving the golf cart. He wouldn't let you just take it by yourselves. But as you're driving along up and down through the mines of Moria.
No. Yeah, because the park's in Lothlorien and we're just driving over to Rivendell.
Yeah.
The park. The park of Rivendell now.
Yeah, the park is in the side of Lothlorien that's on the other side of the mines of Moria from the part of Lothlorien that contains Rivendell.
Yep. Yep.
So yeah, you're driving through the mines of Moria on Benson's golf cart and he's like, gosh dang it, Rigby, the things that you make me do for you, you're fired as soon as you come back from this, I swear.
Aw, come on, Benson. You don't need to fire us. We'll figure it out. It's not going to be that hard. It's just...
Yeah, come on, Benson. I mean, if anything, by the time we get back from saving the world, it sounds like we might deserve a raise.
Yeah, a raise, Benson. We should get a raise.
Roll to overcome with flashy. So this is a difficult of 3.
I have a plus 3 to flashy.
Ooh.
I rolled a blank, a minus, a minus, a minus.
Oh, nice.
So that's a 0.
Yeah, Benson, his head turns back towards you. His body's still staying straight forward, driving the golf cart, but his head turns back towards you, and he says, now you listen here, you little numbskull. I wouldn't give you a raise if Gandalf himself asked me to give you a raise, okay? And he screams out in rage, and you hear his yelling reverberating throughout the entire mines. And you hear from the deep, catch, catch.
The drums in the deep, Benson. The drums in the deep.
No way.
What have you done?
No way. I never thought I'd get to see the Drums in the Deep live in person. I've listened to their records tons of times, but now a live show just for us.
They're the best drummers in the world. Even better than you, Benson.
Benson is incensed at this and says, oh, if they're so much better than me, maybe it's time for... And you see there is suddenly a drum set in front of him, a drum off. And he starts, we're going to have a little battle of the bands here in the Lines of Moria.
I'm going to pull out, obviously Mordecai and I both play the electric guitar. Benson plays the drums, and I'm pretty sure Skips plays the didgeridoo.
So we're going to have an amp versus amp battle of the bands.
And Mordecai and I start singing. We're going through the mines, going through the mines, going through the mines. Yeah.
Okay, so let's have you roll with Flashy. The drums in the deep are going to roll with Flashy as well.
That's a plus six.
Whoa!
Ooh, only a plus four for the drums in the deep. I think we're going to make this be another contest. So first person to three victories is going to be the one who wins. So yeah, you get one victory off of that success. You hear the drums in the deep begin to get even more frenetic. And now it's not so much just like a boom bap, but you can hear it's like a full drum line down there with like the quads and the entire row of bass drums and whatnot. They start playing a marching cadence and they're going to roll with Flashy.
Benson, they have a timpani. What are we going to do? Here's what we're going to do. You're going to play that guitar like you've never played in your life, or you're fired.
I start shredding on the guitar, and Mordecai and I, of course, our bodies just start glowing and, you know, light shining from them. That's a plus three.
Ooh, they only got a plus two. Shoot, dang. You know what, though? I have some fate points. I'm going to spend one of my fate points.
Oh, man.
To increase their result to a plus four.
As, you know, first we were doing good. It seemed like we were going to win, and then they pulled through with that fate point. I'm just going to grab the mic, and I'm going to yell, "Stop talking!" And I'm going to add a fate point as well.
Ooh.
To get me plus two.
All right. So, yeah, you managed to pull ahead, getting the second victory in this contest, and the drums in the deep are getting frantic at this point. And you hear they pull up the taiko drums, just this driving, throbbing bass line going from their side. They're going to roll once again with Flashy.
Oh, that's a plus five.
We got plus six over here.
Oh, no, man.
They finally pulled through.
Benson, what's happening?
You turn. And where Benson was, you see he has been blown off of the golf cart down over the bridge at Khazad-dûm.
Benson!
Yeah, like he stopped right in the middle of the bridge so that you guys could have this battle of the bands. This narrow little knife of stone connecting the two sides. Yeah, he goes flying off into the darkness.
Mordecai, it's up to us. We have to take over the drums.
All right, so we got two victories versus one victory. You guys take over on the drums.
It's just a drum set and then Skips on the didgeridoo. There we go. That is a plus six.
They also got a plus six. We're at a tie.
I'm going to use, I can't carry it for you, but I can steal it from you. And I can't carry this band for Benson, but I'm going to steal his drum solo.
Oh, nice. Okay, you get in there and you start drumming like no creature's ever drummed before. And you see from down below drum heads exploding in flame at the intensity of your drum solo. And you hear from down there, like illuminated by one of the flashes, you can see Benson as he's falling and he looks up at you and goes, "Drive, you fools!"
Step on it, Skips!
And Skips steps on it, and vroom, you manage to make it out through the other side of the Mines of Moria. We see the peaceful mountainside for just a moment, and then with like flame erupting behind you, the golf cart goes shooting out of the side and skids to a stop just on the banks of the Brandywine River as it ends in Rivendell.
Oh, man. Benson, he's gone.
I mean, like, he's kind of a jerk. I'm not too mad that he's gone, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, but how are we going to get paid?
Oh, shoot. I didn't even think of that, man. I got to go save Benson. And Mordecai turns around and starts running back into the Mines of Moria.
He'll catch up.
And I just go into Rivendell.
All right. So now we enter the three of you finally gathered in Rivendell at the gathering place where Elrond has all of you seated around this altar. And yeah, he's got in the very center of it, the ring. And he looks around at all of you and says, "This small ring forged in the bowels of Mount Doom long ago should have been destroyed many ages ago, but I was too weak to push Isildur into the lava myself. And so, because of my frailty in that moment, valuing the life of my friend over the lives of all those who would come afterwards, one of you must bear this burden into the mountain. Who shall take on this great task?"
Do I recognize that as the ring that the eye was talking about?
Yeah, you look at the ring and suddenly you get a flash in your mind. Return the ring!
I'm just gonna, like, whimper in the corner after I see it.
That sounds like it's a lot of work.
I am willing to go on this adventure. I cannot bear the ring myself, but I will be there to support whoever chooses to bear it.
Oh.
Does the person who gets the ring, do they get any, like a raise?
Should one of you manage to carry this ring all the way to the forges in which it was wrought and destroy it in the lavas, the fires thereof, the accolades of man and elves and dwarves of all who live within Middle-earth shall be praised upon that individual.
So a raise?
Feasts! Wondrous feasts beyond imagination! Oh. The respect of kings!
I'll do it!
And a gasp goes up from everybody in attendance. And Muriel kind of pats you on the head and says, "Oh, such a good boy, taking on all of the sins of the world upon your own shoulders." We have our bearer selected. Now, who shall support our hero in his travails?
You have my staff.
You have my trucker hat. As long as I get a raise.
All right. Muriel kicks Eustace into the center. Skips comes up beside you and says, "I promised Benson that I would make sure you didn't die, so I'm going to stick with you." And Pippin, he pipes up and says, "Well, I suppose if one hobbit's going to make it, it's going to be me, because I'm the only one here." And Elrond says, "We have six, but in order to be accurate to the books, we need nine. Who else shall join?" And you hear one chair slide back as an individual stands up. "You have my sword." And Samurai Jack steps forward, the blade flashing in the light. Another chair scoots back.
"And you have my bow."
And Blossom, with the big bow on top of her head, comes flying up next to you. And then a third chair scoots back. "You have my plank." And Ed comes walking forward with Johnny's plank in his hands that he stole from him before coming here to Rivendell.
Oh my word.
"I will join these wondrous individuals on their journey into the fires of death, and I will bring honor to my friends."
Oh, Uriel.
"Oh, don't worry, Courage. I've packed a lunch for you. Bring along with you as many cups of my happy plums as you would like. The power to turn anything happy."
And so this is like your equivalent of Elvish Waybread, is these mugs of Muriel's happy plums.
Those are very good, for the record.
"Well, our fellowship has been gathered. You must go to the fires of Mount Doom to set right that which should have been set right long, long ago."
Mount Doom? That's on the other side of the mountains I just came through.
Well, get trucking, little guy.
I used to think that I knew where everything was, but now I'm not so sure.
Thomas, are you okay?
I don't think I've ever broken Thomas like that. I'm not okay.
Don't worry, Courage. Your name is your name for a reason.
Okay. Just gotta just walk 10 feet. We'll be in Mount Doom. It's not a big deal, guys.
Ah, nah, man. Mount Doom isn't narratively expediently close. Mount Doom
no,
is.
What do you mean? It's on the other side of the stream. I can see it. Let's go.
Mount Doom is exactly as far away as it's going to take 2.5 more episodes to get there. So, yeah, Elrond turns towards all of you and says, "I shall outfit you for this great quest. What is it that you would request of me to help you make it to Mount Doom?"
"I want a bazooka."
And he looks down at you and his brows furrow into a deep V. "None have spoken of the ancient weapons in many ages."
"Well, I heard about it and I want it."
And he rolls his eyes and says, "I gave my word, fine." and he claps his hands, and you see from a set of doors behind him, forge fires billowing, an entire procession of elven blacksmiths begin carrying out almost on like a palanquin. You see there's a chest on top of it glinting in the sunlight, and they bring it before you and kneel down and open the top, and you see lying in a bed of velvet and rose petals a bazooka.
Wicked. Hey, Skips, look what I got.
Don't point that thing at me. Come on.
Aw, Skips.
And the rest of you, what would you request of me?
I don't know. Courage doesn't really want things. He just wants Muriel to be happy.
Ah, if it is the happiness of others you seek, I stole this from my friend Galadriel, the light of our brightest star.
And he holds out a little phial and hands it towards you.
Galadriel!
I'm going to take that shiny rock, shiny glass.
May it give you light in the places where things are most dark.
Okay.
My Lord Elrond, all I wish is for one brown hair from your beautiful head.
And he blushes a little bit and says, Ah, Mithrandir, you may have three.
I'm sure these will come in handy somehow.
I like that nobody was surprised by it, though. Everyone's just like, yeah, of course he wants them.
Of course.
He's been asking for, like, years.
Our fellowship gathered, outfitted. Now be on your way, because you gotta stop this bad guy.
All right.
All right. Well, Mordecai took my golf cart back into the mines of Moria, so are we gonna walk?
Mm-hmm. Of course. I can't carry everyone on Shadowfax.
Isn't Blossom, like, super strong?
She is super strong. Yeah. She says,
Everybody hop on my back.
Thanks, Blossom.
I'm gonna get on Skip's back. It's broader and more comfortable for me to lie down.
I feel like Skip's is probably the base of this whole operation.
Yeah, Skip's gets down on the bottom, does like a T pose, and the rest of you all like sit down on his arms and legs and whatnot.
We're not flying eagles to Mordor, we're flying Blossom.
Yeah, and so you get to the mountains. There's Mans of Moria going underneath, but there's also the pass going over the top. And Blossom just like, I'll fly over the mountains. But as she does so, you hear a fell voice on the wind.
Oh, Blossom, my old nemesis, you shall not make it over these mountains.
Aku?
No, this is Mojo Jojo.
Oh, I thought it was Aku.
They have very similar voices, I'm suddenly realizing.
It's really similar, holy cow.
It is, but that was definitely Mojo Jojo.
Yes.
Aw, oh, man.
Mojo Jojo? Say it ain't so-so.
I will turn your lights off and carry you home.
Wow. And lightning begins striking down all around you.
Ah, oh, mountains, hear my voice, etc., etc.
lightning begins striking all around you.
Gandalf, what do we do?
I shall see if I can cast a spell to protect us.
And I start chanting back at the fell voice on the wind.
All right. That sounds pretty clever to me. Roll to fight with clever. Mojo Jojo's going to continue fighting back against you.
+4.
+4. Mojo Jojo got a +3. He's going to spend a fate point to invoke, I must destroy the Powerpuff Girls. I'll bring his result up to a +5.
I'm going to use my stunt. I'm going to bang my staff down on the head of Skips. And I don't know what's going to happen, but I at least am going to turn into Ian McKellen Gandalf and say, go back to the shadow and rebuke this.
Okay. You rebuke the voice, and as this magical energy emanates out from you, I'm going to make a luck check to see if any weird stuff happens. So you turn into live action, and the only other person who turns live action is Blossom.
Uh-oh.
And Blossom loses her ability to fly and goes plummeting down the mountainside. You continue with your momentum to the far side of the mountains, and she hits the side of the mountain and starts skidding her way back down to Rivendell with all the rest of you on the far side.
Uh-oh. Did you just kill a little girl?
No, she's still alive.
She turned live action and lost all her powers and hit a mountain.
She landed in some very soft snow.
Yeah, yeah. She just snowboarded down.
As I'm falling, I want to panic, go, wah, 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 and then turn into a parachute.
All right.
And I'm just going to continue being asleep on Skip's back.
Yeah, roll to overcome with careful.
I'll grab up whoever I can. That is a 1.
Yeah, I figured that's simple enough. You like, with both of your hands, you grab onto Skips's arms, and with both of your feet, you grab onto his legs, turn into a parachute, And you all begin kind of paragliding down the other side of this mountain range. But dang it, one does not simply fly a Powerpuff Girl into Mordor, so...
We had to try.
Had to try.
As we're descending, I'm going to do a big stretch and wake up from my little shoulder nap and look around and see if Benson and Mordecai are coming out of this side of the mountain or if they're okay.
I'm going to roll a luck check for Mordecai and Benson. Oop, that's a bad roll. You do not see them on the other side of the mountain.
I'm sure they're fine.
Cut to screaming down a deep pit into a massive underground lake. Benson battling with a beast of shadow and flame, just punching it right in the face a bunch of times. And then cut back to you guys.
Oh, great. We're on this side of the mountain. That means we're in my side of the park.
So yeah, you can actually see like the clubhouse where you and Mordecai hang out, just not too far from where you are.
Oh, perfect. I'm going to grab some stuff before this whole thing. You guys hit the snack stands.
I'm going to hit the snack stands. So they got Funyuns?
Oh, they got Funyuns.
Funyuns for days.
Oh, dogs can't eat onions.
Eustace grabs the Funyuns and says, "Thanks, you finally did something useful for once, you stupid dog." And he just starts chowing down on the Funyuns.
I will walk over to Courage with two giant turkey legs.
Oh, heck yeah.
And I'll hand one to him. And I'll say, "Fool of a dog.
I saved your life."
"I was about to thank you for saving our lives. That was good thinking."
"He said fool of a dog."
And Pippin is in the background. He's just like, "Yes, finally.
It's not me."
I like that Pippin's slowly morphing into Napoleon Dynamite.
"Yes.
Yes.
Thank you for the turkey leg."
"You're welcome."
I'm just going to grab a football helmet, football shoulder pads, a hockey stick, and a like cereal box prize water gun.
Nice.
And then I'll strap the bazooka to my back.
Of course.
I'm going to go plug in my computer to the house's electricity and Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
And I'm going to ask it, "Are we going the right way?"
And the computer beeps and bloops, "Here's a map to Mordor," and prints out a little map for you.
Just for the record, the printer that Courage has is one of those like really old school ones, has the tearaway size, and it's just like...
The dot matrix printer.
Yeah.
I want this to be like MapQuest printed out.
It's in like ASCII art with like slashes and semicolons and stuff.
"Okay, so here's where we need to go first." Then I'll draw a big X on Mount Doom.
And as you pour over this mountain, Samurai Jack is looking back in the direction of the mountains that you just came over, and he says, "Our fellowship is already reduced by one, but together we shall remain strong."
"Thanks, Samurai Jack."
"Well said, Master Samurai."
And he just nods stoically. And now that the fellowship has been gathered, you've lost the obligatory member of the fellowship in this first episode, so...
We're doing a lot better than I expected, honestly.
Genuinely.
Yeah.
I thought we'd all be dead by now.
Yep, and you've all survived.
Somehow.
Supposedly.
For now. Supposedly? What does that mean?
Well, we don't know what happened to Mordecai.
Yeah, he
so
might
he's,
be.
He's still...
Oh, he's going to come back as Mordecai the White.
We'll see. But we'll have to see at a later date, because I think that's where we're going to conclude today's episode.
Wow.
This was so stupid.
Wow.
This was so stupid. This is arguably the dumbest thing we've ever done.
You're not wrong.
I've done some pretty stupid stuff, and this is up there.
I'm going to go take a look at a map of Middle Earth real quick.
Good call.
No, I mean, we're way past that now, Ned.
Yeah.
That's not, don't even bother.
Yes, and you got to deal with it.
Yes, exactly. Because, I mean, you know, obviously Rohan has got to be on the way to Mount Doom. Gondor's got to be on the way to Mount Doom.
That's the first one you've said that's completely right.
Nice.
Wait, where does the fight with the exploding wall happen?
Helm's Deep.
Oh, Helm's Deep. Yeah, that's got to be on the way to Mount Doom.
We got to hit Helm's Deep. That's one of my favorite fights.
Yeah.
Got to stop at Helm's Deep on our way there. It's important that I see that wall blow up.
I am not missing that.
You know, that takes place during the Two Towers, so next episode, man.
Yeah, next episode.
Yes. And we will see what happens in that next episode. But for now, thanks for listening to Improv Tabletop. We'll be back next week with more adventures in the world of the Toon Towers.
That's good.
It's ridiculous.
If you want more, go ahead and subscribe. Maybe even give us a review. We would be as happy as Thomas is to be part of this wonderful story.
I really, really want to hear what you people think about this.
It sure is something.
I am begging for reviews about this episode. episode specifically.
Yeah, we're all over social media at Improv Tabletops. If you'd like to connect with us, maybe you want to tell Thomas what a wonderful job he's doing in this campaign and let him know that it's going to be all right. Don't be afraid to reach out.
I'm fine, okay? I'm okay.
I'm slowly coming to terms with it.
I'm okay.
All evidence to the contrary. Now it's time to shout out our next batch of Sticker Club patrons. Woo! And today we're shouting out Adrian Garneau, Christine Lines, and Colin Greenwood. Yeah, so, and these people are some of the blacksmiths who helped to forge the original bazooka in the Elven forges of long, long ago.
The bazooka forged in the dark.
For all of them were deceived, for there was another bazooka.
And it's currently on Rigby's back.
Christian, that fits you specifically being such a big Wheel of Time fan, because that's like the Wheel of Time. It's like new things coming back as ancient things.
Everything is circular.
I love the Wheel of Time as well.
Time is a loop.
And we will have more Sticker Club patrons to shout out next week. And if you, dear listener, want to join their ranks, consider joining our Patreon at patreon.com/improvtabletop, because why wouldn't you want to support more stories just like this?
I swear, if this is what gets people to join the, like, the Patreon...
That's when you're finally going to drop your membership and we don't have to keep shouting you out.
Yeah, I think I'll do it. Don't join the Patreon. There, I said it.
He's doing an anti-shout-out.
The gauntlet has been thrown. Yeah, and if you don't join the Patreon, then you don't have to worry about things like access to our Discord or the biannual sticker packs or our current ongoing patron-exclusive campaign, Miceborn, the Mouse Ritter Chronicles.
Oh, that one's been fun.
Yeah, it's been a good time so far. But if you don't join the Patreon, you don't have to worry about it. It'll be fine.
I feel like I have to say that you can do whatever you want. I'm not telling you to not join the Patreon.
I'm not in charge of you.
We are not... okay right now. I'm sorry, everyone. This is really bad.
Join the Patreon if you want. Don't join the Patreon if you don't want to. Honestly, like, the Patreon, it's fun, but we're not, like, actively trying to...
We'd be making this trash anyway, okay?
Yeah.
We do be making it.
It's true.
I don't know how much of this is even going to make it in the final episode. We are so messed up right now.
We'll see. But, yeah. Now let's do a round of plugs. Thomas, would you like to take that this time around?
Would you like to, Thomas?
Yes, I would like to, but I can't remember what we're supposed to plug.
Plug I Cast Fireball and whatever else the heck you want.
Okay. I Cast Fireball. Very good podcast. Our sister podcast at that. We're starting a brand new... Actually, I think as of the release date for this one, the first session should have come out of the new campaign, right?
We'll have started recording, but it won't have been released
yet. Oh, okay. Well, it would have been recorded, so you can think about what it might be. But after this episode comes out, you'll be able to hear it. So you can hop on to the new campaign, start fresh. If you weren't able to catch the first one, be very fun. Highly recommend it. I'm listening through the first campaign myself right now, and it's quite good. But... I can plug anything I want? Is that for real?
Yeah.
I've never heard such a defeated yeah.
Oh, man. I've got too much freedom right now. You know what? I'm going to plug this. Giving up your preconceived notions of the way things should be. Are you familiar with letting go? Learning to let go. That's what I'm plugging today. If you think things are going to be one way and then they turn out a whole other way, roll with the punches. That's what I'm going to plug for you.
Yeah, because, you know, it's probably a good thing that this is going in such a wild direction, because we don't want New Line Cinema sending us a cease and desist like they sent to VeggieTales for making The Lord of the Beans.
True.
Oh, wait, I'm going to plug one other thing. Samurai Jack. Go watch Samurai Jack.
I just
looked this up a second ago because of the Aku voice mix-up. The voice actor for Aku was Mako, the original voice of Uncle Iroh.
Yeah.
I did not put that together.
No way.
That is amazing.
So, yeah. If you like Avatar, go watch Samurai Jack.
Yeah, dude. Samurai Jack, that is one that I actually went out of my way to begin watching, even though I didn't have Cartoon Network. Really cool.
Super good.
Samurai Jack, he makes sheathing a sword look cooler than drawing a sword.
I mean, look, if you don't know anything about Samurai Jack, I'm just going to give you, like, three words. Time-traveling samurai. If that's not enough for you, I don't know what's going to do it.
Yeah. Also created by Genndy Tartakovsky, the guy who did the 2D Clone Wars.
Yeah.
And Dexter's Lab, if you're into that.
So, yeah, Samurai Jack, love it. Give my stamp of approval to that 100%. Everybody, thanks for joining us here in the world of Ratoon of the King. And we would be very humbled if you continued to join us in the next episode. I'm Ned Wilcock, your host and GM, and I've been joined by...
Caleb Anderton, hoping my spirit comes back as Caleb Anderton the White. Because I've been dying a little inside this whole time.
Christian Randall, just here for the vibes.
Thomas Ryan, if you feel so inclined, subscribe to our Patreon.
Much love and stuff, everybody. We'll catch you next time on Improv Tabletop.
Oh, my word.
I'm looking at a map right now, trying to figure some stuff out. And man, I tell you what, this guy liked naming his places.
Here's the thing. I'm telling myself this is taking place in a Lord of the Rings world before or absent from the fall of Numenor, where Eru Iluvatar turned the world from flat to round. So that has not yet happened yet, and physics is a little weird.
Well,
that's real, if you didn't know about it.
Lord of the Rings time, when the story takes place, that's pre the world turning round, isn't it? Because the elves can still sail off the edge of it to go home?
No, because, okay, elves actually can technically still see the world as if it were still flat and not round, which is why elves' eyes are so keen and why Legolas can see so far off.
Oh, and they can still travel and just walk off the world, basically.
Yeah, he's... To our perspective, the ships they sail on seem to go up into the sky.
Because of the fall of Numenor, Sauron was there and convinced the Numenoreans that they needed to go and sail to Valinor to conquer immortality for themselves, basically. And the Valar that were there called upon Eru Iluvatar to come and fix it. So he made the world round, making...
Grey Havens?
Basically inaccessible for anybody other than the elves. So yeah, you can't get there anymore unless you're in an elf ship because the world is round.
Man, Tolkien was a nerd.
He was a major nerd, dude.
He created language just for fun.
He created language first and then built a story around it.
He made language and then he needed a world to justify the language.
Literally. That's not even exaggerating.